Next on the agenda is state board business. And in order to center our work around our vision, mission, and guiding principles, the state board has agreed to revisit these items at each meeting for those who may be listening. The information is pulled up on the screen. It's also included on our e-board site. So in this section, the first is committee and meeting reports. And our members have provided information in written reports on any events or committee meetings attended since the last meeting, which helped to move forward the work and priorities of the board. They were compiled, they're posted on eBoard. And this is really a time for us to, for any questions related to reports that were submitted, recover any strategic items, discussion. I know this has been something that we've added. And again, I am looking for feedback. If people like this kind of format or not, we don't need to have it on this conversation. Feel free to reach out to me or send emails. I did submit something. There's a handful that are on there. So does anyone have any questions about any of the reports? I know Dr. Noble, we already discussed some of that with respect to Great Oaks, but I just wanted to open that floor up for any comments or discussion on anything that's been submitted, and then if anyone would like to add something.
Okay, this is Audrey Noble. I'd like to say something. I've done quite a few things over the last month, but I just want to pull out some highlights of things. On May 1st, I attended the Pursuing Emotional Resilience Conference. And when I go to these, I always try to pick out, like, what's my takeaway from this conference, these events, and this whole conversation about building resilience among adults and children. There was one of the speakers proposed a challenge to a common adage that we often hear in a song. It's like, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. From the resilience perspective, the way they think about that is, if you're stronger, it won't kill you. Which I thought was really a great way to kind of grasp the importance of building resilience for young kids. I do want to say that I went to the listened in on the Senate Education Committee, and the thing I want to share is that, and this is a rare event, actually many members from, I think it was DSEA and DASA gave kudos to our Secretary Bunting for her efforts by DOE of genuinely involving them in the development of these legislative proposals that she's has referred to in her report. So I just wanted to say good job on that, Secretary Bunting, because I know that doesn't come through very often. So that was good to hear and see. And like the one fun thing I did this week, I represent the board on, and probably most people don't know about this, we have a scholarship committee that's a financial trust that's run through PNC Bank. Is called the F.H. Brown Scholarship, and the board is a member of making the decision of which Delaware students receive these scholarships. And this week, and I can't tell you the names of the students because they haven't been notified as yet, but we awarded $5,000 scholarships, which are annually renewable, awarded to two Delaware graduating seniors. So that's significant, $20,000. So that was kind of an upbeat thing. And that was my month.
No, great. Thank you. And I know other members did also submit them, so they are on eBoard. Should anyone want to read them, to the extent somebody wants to highlight something now, they can. Any other board members? And again, I am going to look for feedback because I want to make sure that our board business doesn't just become somebody just submitting a written report, because the whole point of this section is a really good point thinking about, are we moving things forward from a strategic standpoint? I mean, that's the whole value of having different perspectives on this call. So I don't want it to just end up being people read something and then there isn't a conversation. So again, we have our strategic session coming up and we can have a conversation, but I do want to make sure that we aren't losing a dialogue by doing it this way. So with that, I'm going to leave it. If anybody wants to provide additional comment on their committee or reports or work they've done between meetings, please do so. Otherwise, we're going to move on to the executive director's report.
Madam President, I just wanted to add one thing that I didn't put in my report. This is Lo Fink. On May 11th, I voted in my local school board elections for Red Clay. I just wanted to add that. I know that they are in partnership with our, certainly with our local districts. And this year, in Northern Newcastle County, I haven't seen so many campaign signs in my life, even in legislative districts. So the school board elections were very, obviously very competitive. And somebody, I believe, who testified or gave testimony, made a presentation to the school board about 3 or 4 months ago, actually got elected to the Brandywine School Board. So maybe we're maybe presenting to our state school board as a springboard to hire things. So just wanted to point that out.
I actually think it was because she's Teacher of the Year, Vince.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say her name. See,
Kim Stock.
Wake me up, Dr. Noble. Where are we at the school, the state school board meeting? Thank you.
Well, it is nice, actually, and that's great, Vince. Well, we're going to take it as a springboard. That's pretty funny. But I did see a lot of signs, and I thank you for bringing that up, because I did forget that it had been in between our meetings, and the importance of school boards, local school boards, and, you know, certainly us as well. But local school boards, there's so much, as certainly we've seen through COVID, that is decided by those local boards. So those elections are just vastly, vastly important for our community. So thank you for voting. And nice to see someone from our board that presented to us, and a Teacher of the Year that moved forward with that. Any other comments from our board members before we move on to the Executive Director's report?
This is Sean Brenningham. Vince, I agree with you. We had two positions open in Del Mar, and we had 10% of our population vote, which is a big change from the usual 3 to 5%. And it was good to see, like you say, a ton of signs. I did attend a school choice barrier virtual meeting. The charters talked about the barriers they face recruiting. A couple of examples were transportation, of course, that's pretty big. And they were stating that school districts don't let the parents know about the charter schools in their area. I didn't quite understand that, because if I'm a school, I'm going to make sure I keep all my students for unit counts. I'm hearing a lot of barriers, but I'm not hearing many solutions in this. So the next time they have a meeting, I'll probably become more vocal in this and asking more questions, more pointed questions, to try to get these some answers. It's not been very organized, and hopefully the next meeting will be better. And if there's any questions for me, please ask. If not, that's all I have.
That's great. Thank you for that. If there are no questions tonight, you know, follow up with Mr. Brenningham after to make sure that you get those addressed. Any other questions or updates? Okay, then we're going to go ahead and move on to the Executive Director's report. So, Ms. Honor, if you want to share highlights from your report.
Absolutely. So you all have a copy of my report. I'll just go through a few highlights related to the student well-being priority. I attended the ESSA Advisory Committee meeting back on April 23rd. There was an update on the status of student assessments at that point in time. At that point, 75% of students had taken the SAT. There were less that had taken the Smarter Balance, but that was a month ago. So I think there's opportunity once the assessment window closes for us to reevaluate and see how many students were able to take the assessment, and then hopefully we'll be able to bring some of that information in front of you at a future meeting. So I am continuing to track that related to our board's interest in data related to this year and how we might use some of that data moving forward. The other piece related to data is you've received some updates about the department's work on the opportunity to learn data set. That information has been shared with you at previous meetings. At the ESSA meeting, they just talked about the status of that, of where they are in data collection. They should be at this point in time sort of moving into the data analysis phase. And it sounded like the intention was to release the data sometime probably in late July. So again, another item related to feedback that you've all previously given that I'm tracking closely to think about when we can bring that in front of you in the future. In addition, there was some information provided on the federal stimulus funding related to education and specifically the American Rescue Plan funds and the stakeholder engagement processes associated with that. You are all aware that the department has been collecting some of that feedback. I actually attended a town hall session that was held right before this meeting just to listen in on some common themes that have been collected so far. I'm sure Secretary Bunting could talk a little bit more about them, but related to some things that were shared, high level themes were about returning to in-person classes, reducing class size, improving infrastructure, hiring more teachers, and focusing on social emotional learning. And then the big buckets of items that were shared in relation to how the department might use the funds is for learning acceleration, social emotional learning, technology and the digital divide, and family engagement. So those were sort of the big buckets of items that they shared. There was really good presentation, some summary slides that were provided during that. And I know it was also recorded, so I will share that with you in follow-up if you would like to listen in. But I think we've talked a lot about feedback from the community, and I think that was a great example of some of the feedback that the department has heard so far. Before I move on to some of our other priorities, are there any questions on that? I know there was a lot. All right. Moving on then, I can briefly give you an update on our literacy priorities. So we are continuing to do work with WestEd on our project for literacy. They have completed their desk analysis as well as the compilation of the data that we were able to provide to them, as well as looking at some state and national examples. I expect to have a draft report from them in the next week or two to review, and then we'll kind of work through any additional questions or changes over the next month, hoping to have that wrapped up by the end of June, with the plan to have that presented to you all at our July meeting. So that is on track, and looking forward to having that to inform some future conversations. As Dr. Noble has mentioned previously, there is legislation currently introduced around the science of reading in teacher preparation programs. The sponsor has also indicated that she would like to run further legislation next year, that she would like to work with stakeholders to kind of further refine that in the coming months before next legislative session. So I'm hoping there's an opportunity for our project to potentially inform that legislative work moving forward. Related to our college and career readiness priority, I just wanted to let you know that the performance levels that you all approved in April have been approved by the U.S. Department of Education. So we were very pleased to see that come through. So thanks for all the work you did on that. And thanks to Luke Ryan for all the work that he put into that process as well. Related to partnerships, there's been a number of things covered via other committee reports that members gave. I spent some time on a few charter school related items, as well as the P20 Council and some others. I think, we don't have to talk in depth about the P20 Council meeting, but I think that continues to be a good group of stakeholders with different voices that we can engage related to board priorities. So I want to continue to think about how we can align, goals of the board with the work that we're trying to move forward through the council as well. I'm happy to talk through what happened at that meeting. It's in my report. It's also in Ms. Sweeney's report. And then lastly, preparing for our upcoming strategy session that we have next week on the 27th. So thank you for providing feedback via the survey. I will be sharing some materials with you soon in preparation for that meeting, and just looking forward to talking through ideas of things that we really can focus on in the year ahead.
Any questions or comments for Ms. Honor?
Okay. Jenna, this is Audrey. I have a question, and you didn't allude to this, but I'm just curious about the kids count meeting that you had. Can you tell us a little bit about the webinar that they're planning on student assessment data?
Sure. I just had a very introductory conversation with them. You may recall that last month I shared that I spoke on a webinar that they did on graduation rates. They have been running a webinar series this year on number of different topics related to data that are in the Kids Count fact book. Not all of them are education related, but they're all related to children and the status of children in the state. So really connected with them through the graduation panel that I served on last month. And then they just asked if we could have an introductory conversation. They had one already planned around student assessment coming up in June. So they were just kind of thinking through, they looked at some of the trend data on assessments over the last 10 years or so, specifically looking at gaps in student demographics on the state assessment. So we just sort of talked through who might be some different voices that they could include on that panel, and what were some topics that they might want to explore with those panelists. So it was really sort of just a brainstorming session, and they were going to move forward and decide who they wanted to invite to be part of the panel. But it has been good to connect with them since they are so focused on the data pieces. And I've expressed the board's interests in those pieces, and trying to kind of continue those conversations if there's opportunities for us to work together on something similar moving forward.
Thanks for sharing that. I'll follow up with you about that later.
Okay, sounds good.
Any other questions or comments from Ms. Honor? Okay, thank you. Next on the agenda under board business is the FY22 regular meeting calendar. The proposed dates for next fiscal year's regular meetings are listed. Do we have known conflicts? Like, if people have known conflicts with these dates, let us know. Certainly things come up along the way. But as you know, we meet the third Thursday of the month. Are there any questions, comments about this? Is there a motion to approve the FY22 regular meeting calendar as presented?
Brittany Ham, motion to approve the 2021-2022 meetings.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Aye for a second.
Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you. We also are going to just have a brief discussion on the FY22 budget items. Specifically, the continuation of the Assembly eBoard services. This serves as the hub for providing all of our board meeting materials, as well as to us and members of the public. Though the board is formally approved, we approved the full budget at the July meeting. The financial process for Department of Education timelines require that we have to pre-approve this particular line item in the budget. So we are requesting that the board take action to approve the state board subscription to eBoard services. The cost is $2,750 for FY22. Are there any questions around this particular item on the agenda or item in our budget? Okay, if there are no questions, is there a motion to approve the FY22 budget item specific to e-board services as presented.
Lo Pink, so moved.
Audrey Noble, second.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you. And we'll have our full budget in shortly, in a couple of months. Next on the agenda is the legislative update and consideration. So this is a summary of the education-related bills that are currently proposed in the legislature. They are available for the board to review. Ms. Honor has been compiling them. Just as a reminder, during legislative session, we have this item on our agenda just to make sure that board members have an opportunity to ask any questions or raise discussions related to these items. There is actually a fairly lengthy list already. Are there any questions or comments on any in particular that we can then try to pursue? And again, to the extent that you think of something between meetings, you know, please shoot an email to Ms. Honor. We'll make sure that we try to get that addressed before the next meeting. Okay, I'm going to take that silence for a no. Next on the agenda is the Secretary's report. So, Secretary Bunting, this was provided to board members in advance of the meeting, but Secretary Bunting, if you wanted to just provide your report.
Thank you. I did send it in ahead of time, and naturally things change day by day, so I did want to provide a couple of updates. Jenna has covered a major one. We did a conversation with the public this evening to share the results in general of the questions that we had shared with you about a month ago and hoped that people would contribute to our stakeholder, I guess you can call it a website. It's really a collection, and that collection will continue to be filled by people who react to what we might be doing with our ESSER monies, our ESSER 3 monies, which is a part of the ARP plan. We will be turning in our plan on the 7th of June. We will, again, be able to give a broad view. These plans, both from the state and from the local education agencies, must be revised every 6 months. So as we move further and further into the time when we find out, for example, the proficiency levels of our students, we will know more in a more focused way how to address some of the supports that we might need to be adding. You heard earlier they suggested more teachers, some changes in infrastructure. They're always interested in technology. So the more information that we find out about our children's needs, we will be able to become more definite with specific plans as we move into the school year. And as I said, even the school districts and the charter schools have to revise their plans every 6 months. So that was another way that we're trying to show our transparency and our flexibility and our real gratitude for the input from our stakeholders. And we were quite pleased with what we did, the reactions that we did have. And Jenna, you did a nice job of covering the buckets and all the details. So thank you on that one. The second thing that I'd like to bring to your attention, somebody mentioned earlier, the testing, the smarter balance testing. You gave an update on the SATs, and I don't have any further update on that one. We'll bring that next time. There was one remaining testing date. But as far as our students, even this week, we tested 995 more students. The total percentage of students at this point that have completed the testing in English language arts is 57.8%, and in math, it's 56.5%. School districts will be finishing their school year at varied times, extending through the middle of June. So by the next time we meet, we should have at least really good information, completed information on participation rates and the general gist. We may have some of our results back, but they probably won't be able to be shared publicly yet until they are verified and we're sure that we have all the responses in. information does come back to schools fairly quickly, but again, you have to then go through and make sure all the count is right and finish that off. Traditionally, in the first year, particularly, the results were very, very late in being returned. Now, within 3 or 4 days, they begin to roll back into a school. So things have really gotten better through the years. The third thing that I will highlight is that you have heard a lot about our accelerated learning plan, and we are preparing for that launch as we get into the end of the school year and the early part of summer. But just to give you a bit of an update, I've already mentioned that 19 districts and 21 charter schools are involved. We have a lot of, we call them CBOs, community-based organizations that are working with us now. The list in front of me right now is a list of 14, but we're really grateful to our community-based organization partners because they have provided 184 staff members that are actually being trained on the Zurn math program for the summer, and 110 of our CBO staff members are being trained to help in literacy. So this really adds to our cadre of folks that will be available to help for the summer. Our leader training for the LEA leaders has grown to a list of 45. They've completed the Zurn training. And naturally, when the leaders are involved, you're going to have much better implementation of programs in schools. The teacher training numbers have risen to 160 educators that were in the May training, and we have 6 more sessions to come in June. For teachers, that's more convenient because, of course, they are still involved in their classes at this point. Returning to a little bit of our CBO partnership information, they are able to help us with, and they've also been helping us to contact these students, 1,575 students coming to us through those community-based organizations, which is really encouraging. With others from our, you know, our school district side of it, we have about 3,200 students who have been linked with contracted tutors, and everybody's gearing up for that session in the summer. So taking a look at that, right now we have 4,775 students that are going to be tutored through the accelerated learning plans that we have shared with you before. And we can provide additional updates. Again, when I next talk with you, we will have almost a final count on how many students are going to be involved for the high dosage tutoring and some of our other programs. So we're quite encouraged by the participation and really think that our students will benefit if you want to think about the lost learning and the lost teaching opportunities that we've had in the past 14 months. This is an encouraging sign that we will be able to bring our students a lot closer to being where we would like them to be to start the next grade level in the fall. And that concludes what I have to share with you this evening.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments for Dr. Bunting on her report?
Madam President, it's Lo Fink. Just a quick kind of comment / question. I see that Madam Secretary attended the Delaware's Population Consortium meeting. When that consortium, do they in any way or on an ongoing basis discuss impacts on school districts and with the specific growth of specific areas in the state of Delaware?
Indirectly, yes. In fact, I had that meeting this morning. They had projections based on comparisons of the 2010 census versus the 2020 census information and projections up through 2050. Naturally, they are projections, but it's quite interesting to see the change, the shift in our Delawareans' residences. Newcastle County is looking at decrease in the number of people living in that area, and you see some increase in Kent, but you see a lot of increase for the Sussex County area. They break it down into what they call districts, but those are not school districts. And so you could look at various towns, you know, Georgetown and Milford and so forth, and see what the projected increase in population happens to be. So it doesn't directly reference school districts, but I happened to make the statement that it was important to have that publicly displayed for others to look at so that it could be referenced by school districts. I said, as a former superintendent, I would be extremely interested in those figures because I'm going to have to project for student growth. Although in Sussex, I know a lot of our growth is not student growth, but we still see an increase of students. And likewise, if I found out that it was going to be a diminished number of students in my or families or residents in my area, I would be concerned about how I was going to keep my school buildings going. So, right. Yes, I think it's very valuable. And I will be talking with the chiefs when we meet with them the first Thursday in June about accessing that information.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Further questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Bunting. Next thing on the agenda is the formal public comment. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for general public comment. As a reminder, the board will not respond to questions or engage in a dialogue with those offering comments during the board meeting. Opportunity to sign up for public comment was available via email prior to this meeting. If you did not sign up and plan to provide public comment and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the questions box now. If you're only participating via phone and wish to make a verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. Jenna or Ms. Honor, do we have anyone that has signed up for public comment?
We do not have anybody signed up for public comment.
Okay. Great, then. Is there a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
Madam President, before I make a motion to adjourn, I want to remind everybody that May 31st is Jenna Honor's birthday. Motion to adjourn.
Second. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, that reminder. Any objections? It is 6:43 p.m. and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone, and have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.